Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Rendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve and Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it if you're on YouTube. Make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content. We're also available wherever fine podcasts are. If you have a couple moments in your day and you want to help support Going In Raw in a completely free and easy way, hop on that podcast app, leave Going In Raw a rating or a review. It really, really does help boost the exposure of the show. A lot of you out there have been doing it because I've noticed our podcast numbers have been on the rise.
Good, good.
As of late. So that's really fantastic. Thank you very much. We are also available if you want to support Going In Raw in a fantastic money-based way, in a financial way.
Yeah, man.
Go to Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. We have a lot of great friendos out there right now watching this podcast as a live stream, 61 of them. Then we have a good little pre-show where we talk about subjects such as Flat Earth.
Yeah.
What else? LeBron James.
GOAT, yes or no.
Huge topics that we're talking about.
Yeah. What else? Pancake, side dish or main attraction?
That was like an epic conversation.
The nature, like a real existential conversation about the nature of pizza?
Yeah.
What is pizza? What isn't pizza?
What is pizza, really?
This and so much more during the pre and post shows for our streams. We're also Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Hey, I have, hold on a second.
Oh, you want to pitch the...
to the Patreon. Where's the damn comic book again?
We just had it out here yesterday.
We just had it.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways, I got like 35 of these things that I need you to sign because I have to sign them too. And I'm going to be sending them out to a bunch of new patrons at the $20 mark. At the $20 mark, you get the Friendo Care Package.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes a comic book. And it includes... Look at this. Just today, somebody tweeted at us and asked, what kind of mood do you think they're in? Should they put up the Mecha Santa side of the poster or the top-notch super best?
I mean, that's always the correct answer.
Side of the poster. You know, in the next Friendo Care Package, we're going to have to do a Steve side and a Larson side.
So yeah.
Choose between us. In the Friendo Care Package, you also get these stickers here. A little Steve sticker, Larson sticker, and a signed postcard, and a comic book. I don't know where the hell I went to. That's around here somewhere.
Well, that's weird. It was just here yesterday.
Yeah, I don't get it. Oh, it's right here.
Oh, is it over there?
Yeah.
I put it there.
That's my fault. Brand new adventure for Steven Larson fans.
That you can only find the pages of a comic book.
Mm-hmm. All sorts of great stuff
going
on here.
Keep that with the other stuff.
Oh, look at that. It's drawn by me.
It's great. It's all good stuff. You did a good job on that.
Thanks. Appreciate it. So anyway,
I don't know if I tell you that enough. You did a great job on that.
Yeah, you told me that way too many times. Thank you. I'm starting to think you're being sarcastic.
It bears repeating, man.
Pro Wrestling Tees. We really need to get on more designs. I said we're going to have 10 new ones by Mania. And that's
I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Really close. Well, you know, I like to have
To have ambitions.
A positive attitude. And yes, ambitions, exactly.
No, that's all good stuff.
Are you going through pay-per-views right now?
No, not really.
Okay. What are you looking at?
Well, kind of that, but also kind of...
stuff for count-out?
Yeah, potentially.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Anyways, let's bring up the notes for Raw.
Did it? The thing seemed just a little... Just slightly off last night.
So I don't know if it was...
It didn't seem like it was as smoothly produced as previous weeks.
I'll say this. It felt really long, but I'm not going to say in like a slog manner.
Yeah.
But by the time half the show was over, I was like, gee whiz, when are they going to wrap this thing up? It felt really long. And again, when you sit down to watch a 3-hour show, it could just be your own state of mind.
Well, I mean, also, that is a lot of time to dedicate to one program.
Where you're
it
coming
is a long
from.
Show.
I think here's part of the thing. They've been doing a lot of really long matches lately, and last night they didn't.
That's true.
And so we didn't get like a half hour, you know, a big chunk of half hour just gone, missing from the broadcast, thanks to a long match or something that you could sort of digest in an easier bite. Perhaps.
Yes.
But I thought that, you know, when you break down the show, I thought there wasn't a lot of wasted space. I thought there was a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of good stuff.
They fit a lot in there. We finally got to the Hardy compound.
Yeah.
We got that.
Just a little bit.
A little tease.
A little tease
of it. Anyways, let's kick off at the... Oh, hold on a second. I got to do this real quick. The second week of February.
Yes.
I have to
shout outs.
Every day this week, I got to give the shout outs for February. Why don't they pronounce it February? Because that's how it's spelled. February. Anyways, where am I here? Oh, yeah. So, again, want to thank our patrons. This is one of the things you get. From $1 up, you get a little shout-out here.
Yeah.
Anthony De Francesco, Zach McLean, Derek Galea, Jared Ellis, let's see here, Nicole Nixon, how do you say this name? Is it Io Takeratani Unbeaten? I'm so sorry. That's a crazy name. Crazy in a good way. Very interesting, but I can't pronounce it. Connor Sullivan, Michael Wagenfuhr, Larson's Black Cat Stepfather. That happened in February.
Mm-hmm.
The Tapped House. Happy Valentine's Day, Erica. Ooh, that was a little late. Cy Prakash. Taylor Sexton. Stephen Dash. Amy Snuggs. Carnival Williamson. Wow. I can't have another kid because I snipped it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had another one, Carnival's a great first name.
That is a good name.
Let's see here. Eddie A414. Cold Water Larson's Private Valet, Matthew Paul, Matt Brewer, TGX. Oh, he says, don't shout me out. Oops. The returning JC Zephyr, Carlos Davalos, Darius Corey. That's week two of the February Patriots.
Thank you very much.
Kurt Angle comes down, and it's a new man. It's a new Kurt Angle. He's now don't give an F Kurt Angle. Zero Fs given Kurt Angle. He says, Triple H, you sucker punched me last week. Get out of here and face me like a man.
Man to man.
And instead, Stephanie comes
Yes.
out. And she lays into Kurt. She's like, look, you jacked Triple H at Survivor Series, I guess? No,
yeah.
What was it?
Yeah.
And then he got you one back. So now everybody's even. Everybody's on the same page. Ronda Rousey comes
well,
down.
Well, no, Stephanie says... Kurt Angle brings up Survivor Series. Stephanie says, you know, you almost embarrassed us. You almost cost us the most, our most important signing ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
At
Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Triple H punched you. Now everybody should be even.
Yeah. So that brings out Ronda Rousey. And she says, you know, I've been thinking about it, thinking about who I want to face at WrestleMania. And Stephanie's like, oh, we're going to, let's get a drum roll now. Ooh. And then right when the drum roll starts, Ronda says, you. I want you.
Yeah.
And this is going to take a little bit more time of her being comfortable and getting in the rhythm of things because it was a little premature when she said you.
Yeah.
The camera didn't catch her face. I think like they wanted to. They had to show that in the replay.
Yeah.
And the commentary had to say, oh, she just said 70 McMahon. She wants to fight 70 McMahon.
Yeah.
That being said, I thought it was kind of cool. I don't know. She had some intensity.
Yeah.
There was some urgency to her performance.
She's still, and granted, I don't know if this is what they want her to do character-wise. I don't know yet. You know, when she's getting positive response from the crowd, it's still hard for her to, and again, I don't know if this is direction or not, to really take it in and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's got to be hard to, like, separate yourself from the crowd chanting your name and not smile.
I cannot
especially when you're
stress,
living out your dream,
dude,
you know?
I cannot stress how difficult it has to be to go out there in front of 10,000 people and do what they do
mm-hmm.
live and not stumble at all. I there was one stumble last night, and that was with The Miz when he was talking crap to Rollins and Balor.
Yeah.
And it's so amplified because it's live. It's in front of so many people. And Miz is he's an absolute pro who's a complete 100% on the mic.
Yep.
He's great on the mic. One little stumble, it's so amplified because of the settings and where they are. Everybody says, oh, you know, wrestling and you know, what's your work rate like? Being out there, that's one thing that I was such a mark for CM Punk because, man, he was completely comfortable in
front
of that crowd.
He was always in character and seemed to hardly ever stumble over his words.
Yeah, exactly. And when he did, it just sounded like a normal dude speaking.
It's sort of like Kevin Owens.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So anyways, I thought it was another good outing for
Ronda
Rousey.
Yeah, it was.
And again, it was a long segment and there's a lot of stuff going on.
Again, I don't know if they tell her, you know, hey, if they chant your name, you know, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they tell her anything, or they tell her, you know, stay in character. I don't know what her direction is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take away from the segment. I don't mean to imply that, but
yeah.
I wonder for her as a performance, if she has problems or not, consistency of character throughout the segment when, that sort of stuff happens. I don't know.
It's such a big role for her to fill on such a bright spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
it's going to take a little bit of
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Absolutely. But so that brings, so she says she wants Stephanie. That brings out Triple H. And
yeah.
He says, hold on, wait, hold on a second. No, that's not going to, hold on, no, that's not going to happen. No golden shuffle here. That's my wife. She's not on the active roster.
And then
Kurt Angle says, au contraire.
Yeah, says Stephanie has a contract as executive, but also has contract as WWE superstar. Therefore, she is eligible to wrestle.
He said, I make the matches around here. He says, Rhonda, it's not going to be you versus Steph one-on-one. It's going to be a mixed match challenge. Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
The authorities shocked. They try to exit the ring. Triple H tries to get a cheap shot in again.
Mm-hmm.
Angle anticipates it. They brawl a bit. Angle goes for an ankle lock. Triple H reverses, tosses him into the turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Steph's about to hit. Oh, that happened before. Steph's about to hit Angle.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
And Rousey caught it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff happening here, yeah.
Yeah, anyways, at one point, Stephanie tried to sneak up behind Ronda when Triple H is on the ground after, like,
yeah.
Kurt Angle had decked him, but Triple H had countered. Then Stephanie comes up behind. She whacks Ronda. Then Kurt Angle gets the best of Triple H.
Ankle lock.
Oh, yeah, Ronda goes out there trying to chase down Stephanie.
No, Stephanie leaves.
Yeah, she leaves.
Because Ronda's making mean face at her.
Yeah.
She leaves. Angle gets Triple H in ankle lock. Steph runs around the opposite side of the ring, helps pull Triple H out.
Yeah.
While she's taking the Triple H, Ronda grabs her by her hair, pulls her up, throws her back in the ring. Samoan drop.
Exactly. So we saw a move. We saw a move from Ronda. Now, apparently there was some, you mentioned this during the pre-show, Tommy Dreamer tweeted out, you know, a little bit of a
slight adjustment in form to protect the person who's delivering the move. So Ronda in this case.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't have the weight of the person you're dropping on your shoulder and injuring your shoulder.
Yeah. So again, huge spotlight, going to be a process, but so far she's doing better than I ever could.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, I thought it was an effective segment. I think this is really entertaining. I really like Stephanie and Triple H. As long as this doesn't end up being every single week them coming out and dropping a 20-minute promo like we used to see with the Authority back in the day.
I know.
Then, you know, if they keep it action-based, it's going to be a lot of fun. The Mania match should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Next up, we had a really good match.
Man, this was great.
Asuka versus Nia Jax. This was a top 4 or 5 level pay-per-view quality match that we got from Nia
Especially
Jax.
Especially the story they told towards the end of the match. It was fantastic.
So the majority of the match was Nia Jax overpowering Asuka.
Yeah, firmly in control.
Mm-hmm. And then Asuka, make a long story short, was able to get an arm bar.
Yeah, she got an arm bar, transitioned from that to a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And she had that in for a while. Nia picked her up, powerbombed her, but Asuka didn't let go of the hold.
Mm-hmm.
Nia sold the move really well
this
whole bit. Nia again picks her up, does like a buckle bomb. Again, Asuka does not let go of the hold.
A couple of those, yeah.
Yeah, and then finally Nia lifts her up, tries to do another power bomb onto the ropes. Asuka kind of springs off the ropes, transitions into arm bar, which Nia ultimately tapped out.
Yeah, and she was in that arm bar forever. She was in for such a long time, and her tap out was so defeated.
Yeah.
Nia Jax's performance, I cannot say enough good things about it on Raw last night. It was fantastic. Because later on, we'll just cut to this now. Later on, we had Alexa Bliss backstage with Nia Jax. And Nia Jax is obviously feeling emotionally defeated from her match with Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexa was trying to give her... What's your read on Alexa's little pep talk?
Well, I feel like
to Nia Jax?
If you take it on at its surface, yeah, she was trying to maybe give her a pep talk.
Mm-hmm.
But also kind of felt like she was trying to break Nia Jax down.
Mm-hmm, yeah. She said, you know, you can't give up. You can't give in. You can't seem weak because...
But also, she was saying that, but also she'd say, you know, your family might be embarrassed because you lost. You must feel horrible right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemed like she was trying to vacillate between, you know, kind of talking a little bit of trash.
Well, it was a little bit... But then trying to
use that as the impetus for a pep talk.
Right, exactly.
It was going back and
forth. It was some tough love. And it was fantastic because the entire time the camera's just slowly zooming in on Nia, who starts to actually cry.
It was a fantastic performance.
I loved it. I thought it was so great.
Me too.
I thought it was really good. You just don't get to see stuff like that very often.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's obviously something going on with the dynamic between Alexa and Nia and has been for a while. I mean, feels like months ago that Nia was angling to get a title shot.
Yeah.
Never happened. So it'll be interesting to see if Alexa keeps on going this route with these kind of pep talks.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets to the point where Nia says enough
and
attacks her, whether that's before Mania or after, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I said in the pre-show that if it is Asuka, Alexa, maybe they're setting up this storyline with Alexa and Nia, so Nia can be cost Alexa at Mania. Although I kind of want Asuka's win to be clean, but anyways,
well,
setting
be,
up for
yeah.
Alexa's story post-Mania against Nia, and then Asuka as women's champion can move on to something else.
Because there's still the thought that Asuka might take on Charlotte at Mania. And I mean, that's a possibility. I just really wonder what possible, believable motivation they
other
would
than
have.
I want to take on the best.
I mean, she could say I've beat Alexa Bliss before. She could say that. She could say I beat Alexa Bliss. The championship there wouldn't mean as much. You know, I beat Nia Jax. You know, there's nobody else there really that I need to prove myself against. I've beaten everybody,
yeah.
But I've never beaten you. That, I mean, if it's written properly, that the seed of that motivation could be enough.
But at the same time, if you've already beaten Alexa Bliss, you know you can beat her. I mean, that seems like a gimme.
Yeah, I know. And Raw's the best show. But, you know, if Asuka's all about the competition aspect
yes,
of things and not
yes.
necessarily the title, then I think that could be, I mean.
And say what you will about SmackDown's creative. It's largely not been very good lately. But if the focus going forward of the women's division is going to be Ronda Rousey, it might benefit Asuka to move to SmackDown.
No, I agree with that. Although I think she's going to be entrenched in the Stephanie thing for probably a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
I would be surprised if it stopped at Mania.
No, I don't think it will. But, you know, who knows how long it's going to take before mm-hmm. titles get involved.
Yeah, no, I agree
Although
with
they
that.
Repeated last night. They said part of Ronda Rousey's contract was she got to pick her Mania opponent, but it wasn't going to be a champion.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they made it clear for the second time that there'd be no championship opportunities for Rousey in the near future.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean Mania.
Yeah, exactly. So after that, we had The Revival.
Say yeah.
Versus T-Bar.
If Revival picked up the win, they would get a title shot at Mania, so I was expecting them to win.
Yeah, me too, and they did not win.
No, they didn't.
Cesaro ended up getting the pin on Dawson after a neutralizer. It was a fun match. I'd actually really like to see these guys.
It didn't seem as crisp as I was hoping for.
No, they each team has their own distinct chemistry. I think the Revival and the Bar both work best when they've had so many repetitions with their opponents.
Yes, yes.
Because they can be very crisp once they're in that rhythm.
That comfort area.
Probably just takes a little while, you know.
Comfort
I mean, zone. We saw how many times we see Revival versus Variations on the Shield and Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
A lot. I'm sorry.
The Bar.
The
yeah.
Bar.
And it was
a
good
lot.
Stuff, yeah.
And you know, the second half of those matches were freaking amazing.
Well, same with the T-Bar and the Hardys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
they had a ton
yeah.
of matches against each other. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they could find a way to get the Revival back in, but.
Let's mention this Wrestling Inc. News bit
mm-hmm.
about the Bar with reports going around that T-Bar will face a tag team at Mania that is not currently a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
No other details.
Well, this kind of makes sense because their thing right now is we're clearing everybody out. We don't have an opponent for Mania. So obviously the Revival seemed like one, but then, you know, just sort of sticking them in a match and, oh, if they win, they'll go on. That wouldn't be enough. They need like a big, you know, crashing their party type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't surprise me that when I saw this presentation of the Revival, okay, it's not going to be them. There's some indication that the Ultimate Deletion is going to be happening prior to Mania, which is a bummer. That should have been a Mania thing.
I know.
And that Bray and Matt might come out as
tag team
partners out of that. I have no idea how much validity there is to that, but that would be interesting, I guess.
Yeah, and that would be a team that's currently not a team to take on T-Bar.
Yeah, yeah. And then that would probably leave Jeff with like a singles push
mm-hmm.
once he comes back, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
they'd be kind of following the storyline of Final Deletion, where Matt and Jeff were at odds.
Mm-hmm.
Final Deletion, Jeff picked up the win, and then shortly after that, they reunited as a tag team.
Yeah,
which, of course, led to Tag Team Apocalypto.
Mm-hmm. Alex C here in chat said Braun and Elias. That'd be great.
That would be great. After that, we had a John Cena promo.
Boy, he was.
He was there to sell Fastlane. That's what he was there to do.
Oh, man. I will win that match, and I will. And AJ Styles, what you have to do is invoke your rematch. Hold on, John. There's like 8,000 other people in that match with you.
I know.
The odds of you winning that match are not that great. They're actually less than Elimination Chamber
odds. His whole promo was lol, Cena wins.
really was. And then telling people what to do?
I know.
AJ, you will revoke, you'll invoke your rematch clause at WrestleMania on the grandest stage of them all.
That's just kind of his thing, though. Between that and the ring, telling people to do stuff all the time.
Shouting orders at people?
Yeah, man.
Dude, come on. I know you've been there for a while, but, you know, there are still people above you in the food chain, man.
Tranquilo.
Just tranquilo, John. You need to get, he's immediately moved. What do championship teams always say they never do? Never look past your next opponent.
Yeah.
Take each game one game at a time. And he's already moving past Fastlane
into
Mania.
Mania, man.
What is that? John, listen. Fastlane is a big fat stinker of a pay-per-view coming up. You're not going to break the record at Fastlane.
If I do break the record, it would make a B-level pay-per-view, A-level pay-per-view.
John, listen, I don't even know whose voice I'm doing right now.
You're doing Steve.
I get to talk to John Cena. Anyways, Goldust shows up then.
Yeah, and he had his own long, meandering, not exactly clear promo, apart from saying that he's going to ruin John Cena's WrestleMania dream. I still don't know how that's going to happen, just because if he were to beat him on Raw, that wouldn't do anything. He'd still be in the match at Fastlane.
Yeah, but
if he were to win, he would still be WWE champion. Goldust isn't going to show up on Fastlane and interfere and cost John Cena the match.
It was confusing, but I really loved his promo. Because I just try to cherish every Goldust moment.
Oh, me too.
I
like Goldust a lot.
And he comes out there and he quotes on the waterfront.
Yeah.
I love that. That was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was confusing. It was weird. People in the crowd were like, what is going on here?
Even Cena.
Yeah. He was like, what? Goldust ended up sucker punching John Cena.
Yeah.
That led to a match. Cena won with an AA.
Yeah.
So he'll be
showing up. That result was never in doubt.
He'll be showing up on SmackDown tonight to tell AJ Styles, I guess, what to do again.
He should just deliver the same exact promo.
Exactly. Yeah, word for
word. But this time, when he said it during his promo, I can't do this on SmackDown because I'll have five other guys trying to interrupt me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he just had Goldust interrupt him.
Yeah, he had one guy.
Next, Kurt Angle and Elias backstage. Elias is trying to get out of his Symphony of Destruction match later in the evening. It's Braun Strowman. Kurt Angle said, nope.
He said, nope, not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
He said, okay, I'll consider it. Thank you, Kurt. I've considered it.
No.
I'm not canceling the match. Elias. Oh, man. Next up, we had Bayley versus Mandy Rose right before the match went down. Oh, yeah, but there's a Bayley interview here. She was talking about being friends with Sasha Banks or something like that. I liked it.
It was an interview.
She's saying, look, man, you know, I get that it's every woman for themselves in these various matches that Sasha has screwed me over in, but, you know, I'm not a pushover, man.
And then she was interrupted by Absolution's music.
Yeah, Paige said some really mean things.
Yeah,
she
man.
Said, Bayley, you're just a kid.
Well, she was saying stuff like there's strength in numbers.
You need to have somebody to have your back.
Yes.
And that's us.
Okay match. Bayley wins by roll-up.
Mm-hmm.
Absolution comes in afterwards, attacks Bayley. Sasha runs out, makes a save. Sasha offers a hug to Bayley.
She did this.
Yeah. Bayley pushes past her, walks out of the ring.
I loved it. I thought
denied.
It was great. I don't think we're going to get this match that we all want to see, though, man. I don't think we're going to get it. I think they want to push Absolution. I think Bayley versus Sasha would be so much freaking box office. I would love that match. It'd be so great. But I really think this is going to... You know how the WWE is. There's only 3 weeks left. They don't really do like the really cool thing. They do kind of the little bit lame thing. Which is, we want them to be friends. So because pulling the trigger on like a heel Sasha...
Maybe they'll actually do that at Mania during that match. If it's a tag match.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, maybe, huh?
Yeah.
Get Absolution over. And pull the heel trigger on Sasha.
And maybe Sasha. I mean, we said when we heard that Paige was hurt and wouldn't be able to wrestle anymore, that maybe Absolution needs a new, at least in-ring leader.
Oh, I would love that. That'd be great.
Why not have Sasha take that role?
That'd be really cool. That'd be good. So, yeah, it could be. Look at that. We just booked it. Good job.
And then maybe at SummerSlam.
We can get that.
Or Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Get Sasha versus Bayley.
Well, one of the stories within the Money in the Bank women's match could be Sasha Bayley.
There you go.
Ooh.
That's it.
Look at that.
There was news that
fired.
We'll talk about this now because it's a brief little news item. There was news that broke yesterday after we did yesterday's Dirt Sheet, the Monday news show, that Money in the Bank, both the Money in the Bank ladder matches, is going to be cross promotional.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd assume three members of each brand in the ladder matches. First mm-hmm. time ever. That's great.
Yeah, that is great. A bunch of little things dropped yesterday, like little things. Like 205, this is actually a little thing, but 205 Live, apparently they're getting tag team titles.
Yeah, man, that's cool.
They're getting a tag division. That's awesome. That's really cool. Give them something to do. Let's see here. Next.
Braun iPhone promo.
Oh, next we had the Nia Jax Alexa
Bliss. Oh, sorry.
We already talked about that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. Braun iPhone promo. Why? I did not see this.
Oh, he's awesome.
Okay.
He's the best.
I'm trying to remember what.
There's a lot of words.
Okay.
I mean, like on the screen, they did that stuff again.
I'm glad I
stopped
missed it
doing
then.
It. Just but the promo was great.
Just annoying.
Talk about get these hands.
Get these hands. Anyways, that led to the Symphony of Destruction match.
Man, I was impressed by Elias's musicmanship.
So, what did I tell you? I'm telling you, man. I said this for ages.
More so
this guy.
His piano playing.
Yeah.
But he managed to hold the beat on the drums fine.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. I think he knows a little bit of everything.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think he's a virtuoso on any of them, but he knows how to play instruments.
I think on guitar, he's a virtuoso. I think he is. I think he knows how to come off like he's not, though. I think he's that good.
He's good. He's
because
pretty good.
It's funnier for him kind of know how to play.
Yeah. I mean, I thought NXT was funny of him to seem like he barely knew how to play because that's what it was.
Yeah.
So I think he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Virtuoso, I'm not sure about that.
I don't know, man. We have all the evidence in the world to suggest.
I mean, I can carry a beat on the drums.
Oh,
I can,
no. Here
I can
we go.
Play some chords on the piano,
here
and I can handle myself okay on the guitar, but I wouldn't consider myself a virtuoso.
It doesn't have to be
like
that. It doesn't have to be a me
See,
versus
here,
him
No,
thing.
It's not that. It's me who actually knows how to play an instrument or two versus you who knows how to play zero.
Okay, no. The difference is this. Jerry Lawler is a Norman Rockwell-esque artist. If he was never a wrestler, oh my God, this guy would be a national treasure for his artwork alone.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, I know.
I like to draw.
Yeah.
I'm a bucket of assholes compared to him. You need to admit that you're probably a bucket of assholes compared to Elias.
I don't know that. I haven't seen the evidence.
His best? You haven't seen his best?
Yeah. He's good. I mean, you've been said for a long time you think he's really good. I haven't seen that yet. He's good.
I think he's
pretty good.
I think he knows what he's doing.
And it's impressive that he can just get behind an instrument and play it.
Bang. Just like that. Oh, I loved it. It was great.
Anyways, great.
So they had a piano
Listen,
out.
Listen, here, hold on. I'm not trying to tear down Elias or disparage his musical talent.
I don't think you are either.
Because they're there.
I think we have evidence that he's a virtuoso.
He's very good.
But the evidence suggests that he's more than very good. That he's great. Virtuoso. We'll have to ask him. We need an interview with Elias.
I mean, if he sat down on the piano and played like some Bach, then I would agree with you.
Right. Yeah, but that's the thing. That's not his character.
I understand that.
But I think you have to be a virtuoso in order to play the character who's just decent.
I don't know about that.
I think you do.
You could just actually be decent.
In front of that many people.
I think you could just actually be decent.
Oh, I don't know. Because you're just decent. I don't think you can go out there and be just decent on a piano in front of 10,000 people. I think you'd be a mess.
I think that'd be more a matter of experience being in front of that crowd on a regular basis, which he has, and I do not.
Anyways, there was a piano out there, three guitars like propped up, a double bass,
and a small drum set.
And a little drum kit right there. He comes out, cuts a great promo. They're giving him so much time on the mic where he shows off his skills behind each of these instruments.
Yeah.
It was great. He starts singing a song on his guitar as he's walking down the ramp, and he says, "I want a proper entrance." So they dim the lights. They do the spotlight. You hear, ladies and gentlemen, Elias.
Yeah.
And then they're like, where is he?
Lights come up.
Where'd he go?
He's not there.
He's running away.
Running through the crowd.
He runs through the crowd. He gets backstage. He goes to the car garage thing. He gets in a car. He tries to back up, and he looks behind him, and his car's not going anywhere because Braun is holding his car up. As the wheels are spinning,
yeah.
What's chat saying that you're cracking?
No, I'm trying to put myself over.
No, I love when you do that.
I'm not trying to put myself over. I'm just trying to have an argument with you to fill time on the show.
No, man. We're at this. This is the point of the show. We're having conversations.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. Anyways, Elias freaks out. He gets out of there. Braun puts the car down.
Gives chase.
The chase is on.
They come out to the ramp. Braun destroys Elias. They get back to the ring. Elias gets his licks in a little bit.
Little bit. There was a good chunk of match where he was, you know, murdering Braun with all those instruments and stuff.
Well,
or at least
with
guitar.
Yeah.
And then he was beating up best he could.
Yeah.
I thought they
tried to go
Elias
for a pinfall. Yeah, they did. Tries to go for a pinfall. Braun kicks out. They fight up towards the ramp some more. Braun destroys a bass again over Elias, and then he tosses him under the piano, bangs out some notes.
That was great.
And then lifts up the piano, like there's a leg that seemed like it was foldable on the front of it, and then dropped the piano on top of Elias.
Then he moves the piano and pins him.
Well, he like chucks it off.
Because it became, yeah, Kurt earlier called it a false count anywhere match. The great thing is during the entire match, Corey Graves was dropping Megadeth reference after Megadeth reference. It was fantastic. It was awesome. And then at the end he even said, if that wasn't enough to get me some free Megadeth tickets, I don't know what is. That was awesome.
But I don't think he ever used the phrase sweating bullets, did he?
I don't know. I just caught that. I just caught at the end, and then people on Twitter were mentioning.
No, I caught several of them, but yeah. I remember sweating bullets.
Oh, I loved it. Well, wasn't sweating bullets just a Mustaine solo?
No, that was a Megadeth song.
Was it?
I believe so.
I thought
so.
That was just a Dave Mustaine thing.
I mean, he is the front man for Megadeth.
Well, I get that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Megadeth.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Hello, me. It's me again.
I know the song. It's like the only song that I really know. Oh, yeah, look at that. Okay. Sweating bullets.
Yep.
Next up, we had Bray Wyatt versus Rhino. I wonder who won this match.
Bray Wyatt did with Sister Abigail. He dropped a promo afterwards, then calling out Matt Hardy. He wanted him to show up in the ring. Instead, we got Matt Hardy on Titantron.
Mm-hmm.
He challenged Bray Wyatt to a match at the only place that the Great War could really take place, the Hardy Compound.
Crowd popped big when he said the Hardy Compound. And then, of course, we get a bunch of great shots of the Hardy Compound.
We get Skarsgård, dilapidated boat.
Uh-huh.
That was in there. We got Vanguard 1.
Yeah, Vanguard 1, yeah.
No Senior Benjamin, though.
No. Rebby claims on Twitter that she shot a bunch of that stuff.
Like last Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't want professionals out there, man. I want Rebby. Whoever did it the first time, bore ass whoever,
yeah,
to do it this time.
Yes.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
Oh, I loved it. So, yeah, we're going to get the Ultimate Deletion at some point.
Yeah.
Rumor has it it's going to be before Mania. I really think that's a waste. I really want that.
Yeah, I want it to be at Mania. But maybe they want Mania to actually all take place in the stadium.
Yeah, probably. Next up. I mean, they saw how it went at when we were at
House of Horrors.
House of Horrors, yeah.
But still, that's arena. That's where Raw is going to take place. Not the same arena, but at
I know, but you don't want to risk a crowd dying. You've got 7-8 hours of content. They're going to be dead no matter what.
Yeah.
Next up,
the Mizzies. Dura did the editing for those video package. Needs
wildly raised. Entertaining.
Wow.
This was great.
The only thing it was missing was people repeating lines in slow-mo. Like when Engel and Miz were going back and forth. Nothing?
Nothing. That should have been the thing, yeah.
With a zoom in.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, he was doling out awards, Mizzies, to Seth, Finn, and of course Kurt Angle. There's one great bit where it was like the category was worst decision made by a GM.
Oh yeah,
and it was all Kurt Angle, and one of them was because they had like announcer voice doing the nomination specifics, and it says bringing his bastard son up to Raw. Somebody noted too. I forget who is this in chat. Somebody noted that and maybe it was on Twitter that in the opening segment when Stephanie was talking about Kurt needing his job. She said, how many kids do you have? Four? And he said, five. Well, it would be six if you included Jason Jordan. So he essentially forgot about Jason Jordan, which is great. Maybe he meant kids who need to be fed because Jason Jordan has his own money.
Well, that wasn't the question, Stephanie asked.
How many kids
do you have?
I know. It was great, though. Oh, and he's got a little one-year-old, little baby Angle. That's cute.
Finally, he was going to give out the Lifetime Achievement Award to himself, but he was interrupted by Seth Rollins, who himself was interrupted by Blue Balor.
Oh, I love Seth's reaction whenever Balor shows up, and Balor just with that big old smile of his, and he still does the thing with all that, and he's really happy with himself. So apparently they've been teaming up on the house show circuit to get their chemistry, I guess. But I love Seth and Finn together. Their chemistry is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a genuine feud between these two.
Oh, same.
I think that'd be fantastic. It'd be really great. So we got kind of that. We're going to get we got a tag match with three on two.
It was Seth and Finn versus Miz and the Miztourage. There was a couple spots where there was some unanticipated tags between Finn and Seth that caused some tension between the two of them, but didn't cost them the match because Seth tagged himself in right as Finn was setting Miz up for a coup de grace. Seth hit a stomp on Miz, picked up the win. After the match, Kurt Angle comes out and says, Miz, you know, I'll tell you who your Mania opponent is. It isn't Seth. It isn't Finn. It's both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Triple threat match.
Yeah.
Mania for the Intercontinental title.
Seth and Finn both very happy.
Yeah.
Well, Finn really happy. Seth was more, I don't know. I guess he was happy. He was
but he
jacked.
Wanted his own opportunity.
He wanted his own match, and then they both stare at the WrestleMania sign.
Whereas Miz has looked upset.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, that's gonna be a hell of a match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who comes out of it, but wouldn't surprise me if Miz retained.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling, too. He made a point last night of saying that he was only, what, 55
days
away from breaking Pedro Morales' record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if there's enough infighting between Seth and Finn, Miz can capitalize on that, retain, and then next pay-per-view probably drop it to one of them.
Man, I'd love to see that title on Finn.
Yeah, man.
Ooh, I'd love to see
that. He should get the strap blue.
I know.
Blue Balor.
Yeah.
Intercontinental Champion.
Burgundy strap.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just whatever color tights he has,
mm-hmm.
the matching strap.
So wait, how tall is Finn supposed to be?
5'10".
Man, when he was next to Seth, they really seemed...
I think Seth is about 6'1".
I thought I read that he's 6'2". Maybe
or 6'2", could be 6'2".
But man, they seem like Finn, there's not really that much of a difference, I feel like.
I mean, Seth is taller, noticeably, but not dramatically.
Yeah, right. It's weird. Anyways. Next up, we had like a 20-minute Paul Heyman promo. Apparently, like on the East Coast, they cut to Unsolved, the Tupac Biggie thing.
Oh, when he first took his first break?
And then went back to him, I think. No, I think it was before he even came out. Because at this, he came out at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so according to like some Twitter and some people were saying that, yeah.
I saw
out,
that, yeah. That they
then
cut
it went
away.
Back to
yeah.
it.
Oh, gotcha.
Because people were very
Because there was that one it. Point where he delivered the first half of his promo.
And then he
the
stopped.
Mic,
yeah, I thought
like
the
he was
same
leaving.
Thing.
Maybe they thought they
But
they
when
cut
I
then.
Looked at it, they were like, yeah, no, apparently it was before he even came out. Whatever. It just happens. USA is doing their own negotiating with
seems like
their hardball negotiations. Anyways, I thought this promo could have been half the time that it was because, man, when he... So he delivered a pretty effective first promo saying, you know, nobody bitched about The Undertaker when he shows up only one day a year. Undertaker's not holding up a title, dude.
Yeah, no. You know? He's also like 50-something years old.
I know, exactly. I don't know. It was just a really, really long-winded promo. I thought the first half was effective. And then when he stepped back in to call the Universal title Brock Lesnar's bitch, I thought that, I don't know, I just thought it was wonky. And,
yeah.
And just... If he had, I was okay, I guess, with the sentiment. But like, if he had included that within the first promo, I thought both promos just should have been smashed into
Agreed,
one.
Yeah,
and made one shorter promo because God, he just talks and talks mm-hmm. and talks these days.
No, it definitely would have benefited from being much shorter.
Yeah, and then Roman comes out, and
Paul Hett says that Roman, you want Brock? He'll be here next week.
Yeah, so Roman comes out and essentially says, you know, make sure he says. He says, Brock really is a little bitch, isn't he? He sends you out instead of himself. I just want to talk to him like a man. The people here, they want him here. They want him to want to be here.
Yeah.
And tell him next week when he does show up to not put on his promo clothes.
Which is just a t-shirt and like sweatpants.
Yeah. Put on, you know,
fighting
clothes.
So it's his shorts.
Yeah.
He's going to be wearing his promo clothes if he shows up at all.
My only complaint about it, because I thought it was Roman doing what... he can do.
Yeah.
We've seen Roman going outside of what he can do and being very successful at it. When Samoa Joe would get up in Heyman's face was so great.
Oh, I liked when Roman came in the ring, though, and told Heyman to pick up that belt. Treat him
I really liked that. I really liked that. That was really good. I thought that he could have escalated that line of drama.
He didn't get into Heyman's face to the same degree that Joe did, but
he doesn't need to.
But he was pushing
There's
in
too
on
much space.
He was pushing on Heyman's comfort zone a little bit because Heyman was stepping away.
Yeah, he was. Heyman was doing a good job. I just felt like Roman should have made it a bit more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There should have been a bit more bass in his voice. I don't have any water.
Yeah, what'd you do that for?
Forgot my hydro. Because I got to do too much stuff around here, man. You're just sitting here dinking.
Well, if you want me,
with
if
little
you
jar.
Need help with something, then ask for help.
I'd rather be a martyr. I'd rather do it all
That's
myself.
The thing, and then complain about it. Then say, hey, Larson, can you press this button for me? Can you plug this cord in for me? Because last time I'm over here, what do you need me to do? Don't worry about it. I got it.
You need to reach for the brass ring.
I mean, I'm offering to help.
I know. I appreciate it. I'm just giving you shit. So anyways, that closed the show. I thought it was decent. I thought it could have been
it was effective.
A bit
not
more
have
dramatic.
Been dramatic, but it was effective in telling the story they're trying
Roman's
to tell.
Roman's the top guy. I'm going to hold him to top guy standards.
Yeah. Well, he didn't go out there and embarrass himself. He did what he did well.
I didn't say he did. I'm just saying it was a double, not a home run.
We don't need a home run every time, Steve.
I like to aim high, man.
Well, here's
Stop
the thing. If it's all I'm trying to fill out the show, damn it.
We don't need to fill out the show. We have plenty of time.
I'm trying to have a conversation. can't see it. It's about a half hour. Anyways, like, if I mean, yeah, home runs are fun, but sometimes you want to see some teams string together some hits and score runs that way.
Fine.
Using the baseball metaphor.
Then give me a triple then. Can we agree that he could have hit a triple?
Yeah, but sometimes a double's fine, because maybe next week he'll hit a single and then hit a home run after that, and it's a three-run home run. More RBIs.
All right, let's answer some questions.
All right.
I'm done with this.
Unretired Dwayne Nix. So that Samoan drop was not the prettiest looking thing at all from Ronda. With that being said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the possibility that Ronda legit hurt Stephanie at Mania?
Zero. They're not going to have her go outside her comfort zone.
I mean, according to Tommy Dreamer's critique of the move, it's based on how Ronda delivered it, it was more a possibility that Ronda would hurt herself.
Yeah.
Versus Stephanie. Jonathan Reiner, power rank other fun gimmick matches Elias and Strowman can have. How about the... Oh, I have an idea. You know those giant Hulk foam hands?
Yeah.
Put those on a pole. A get these hands match.
Get those hands match, yeah. Hands. Well, you know, they're both musically inclined. We saw, again, Braun exercising his piano fingers last night, doing a fantastic job.
Yes.
That's more in the line of what I could do.
Ding, 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 yeah, yeah. Ding. Really, all I can do is play like three Radiohead songs. A couple songs
yeah, but you do them well. It bugs the crap out of me, though, because my father-in-law, he's a hell of a piano player. And they have a piano at his house. And when I take Alabama over there, he'll get on there and like we're at the freaking, you know, Gem Saloon or something.
Oh, man.
I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. Am I too old to take lessons?
No. We have a piano, but we don't have room for it, so it's in storage right now.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because our house we were renting, when we first moved back, we had the piano in the entry, and I'd play whenever I got a chance.
I need to learn. It seems so satisfying.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, once you know how the notes are laid out and how those form chords and stuff, it's just practice from there. TGX, so as a Megadeth fan, I found amusing that tonight's Raw featured the Symphony of Destruction match, which, in case you didn't know, was one of Megadeth's most famous songs. So with that said, name some other rock metal songs that would make a good name for a wrestling match.
Well, they literally did the Unforgiven pay-per-view, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Master of Puppets match. That'd be cool.
But what would be this?
I don't know. You just bust some puppets out. That'd be kind of weird.
I'm trying to think of some other...
Sweating Bullets match. And, like, they turn off the AC in the arena.
It's in a sauna.
Yeah, there you go.
Trying to think of some other metal songs that would be applicable. It shouldn't be that hard for us.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be that difficult, man.
I mean, I know my music. I'm going through some other Metallica songs.
All I know is like their post Black Album stuff. You know,
their early stuff.
I don't really know a lot of their like
Sweating Bullets. Trying to think of like some other metal songs, not necessarily Metallica.
I don't know, man. I feel like, okay.
And all the ones I'm thinking of are not really.
Give me an Anthrax song. I'm looking on my phone right now.
Oh, okay.
This question's bugging the crap out of
me. Yeah, me too.
Bring the Noise.
Well, the Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Collab.
Let's see. Breathing Lightning. What can you do with that?
Not much. Undertaker would have to be involved.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, move on. We laid a fart on that question.
Yeah, we did. Hold on. Go continue and I'll come back.
All right. AO Worm, scale of 1 to 10. Will Asuka face Bliss at Mania?
I think so. Oh, fade to black.
Oh, there you
fade to black match.
So like
Aleister Black versus somebody is like a KO match.
No.
There you go.
Okay, yeah, KO match like that. But I was thinking more literal. You know, it's a 15-minute time limit. And the lights are going down
at that time
over that period of time. Oh, they're dimming during that period of time. Or the lights just go out randomly for a period of a minute.
You know, that would have been a more effective use of Bray Wyatt's satanic powers and projection.
Just turn the lights out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's established that he can do that.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you say it is? What are the odds that we get Bliss versus Asuka?
8. 7.5. Sorry. 7.5.
Yeah, I'm like at 6 right now. I'll say 6. Daryl Takahashi, power rank instrument spots the Elias match should have used. He says he would have loved to have seen Elias's head go through an accordion.
Yeah, I was going to say an accordion too.
Yeah, an accordion's like that's like the ultimate comedy device or comedy instrument. I think Weird Al used the accordion, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Phenomenal Blitz. Now that Chicago is all in.
Yeah, man.
Power rank five ways. By the way, when I go to all in, I'm going to wear my GG Allin shirt.
Oh, dear.
And I'll be like, what? I thought this was a GG Allin convention.
That was a GG Allin convention.
Power rank five ways CM Punk can show up at the... Oh, there you go. Have a GG Allin match. People just throw poop at each other.
Oh, dear.
Power rank five ways CM Punk can show up at the event. Well, he can go via car.
Yeah.
Helicopter.
Public transit.
Public transit. Motorbike. Or...
Hovercraft.
Hovercraft. There you go. One of those, like, yeah, one of those jetpack things that the Army is developing.
Yeah, man.
The glorious Steve Klain. Do you think Husky Harris will make an appearance coming out of the Lake of Reincarnation?
Oh, that'd be funny.
I really hope they get really
cool.
Weird with it.
I know,
it.
Me too.
I really want them to get weird with it like that. I think it'd be great.
Jose GGR, is Chris Jericho the best overall mic work, ring work, psychology, etc. wrestler of all time? I don't know if he's best ever, but he's top 10.
After that match he put together at the age of 47, putting together a 5-star match. Are you kidding me? Maybe.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's definitely up there. I mean, I can kind of only speak for, you know, the 1980s and on.
You got to put Flair in the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
You got to put Stone Cold in the conversation.
Yeah, but by the time he put everything together in terms of, like, his persona, his wrestling, because of the Owen Hart thing,
His
wrestling wasn't... He was a
what
brawl.
It used to be, I know.
Yeah,
but he was still good with ring psychology.
No, yeah, he was great. Yeah, no, it's probably Flair. I mean, it's probably Flair. Come on. The guy was like the greatest promo of all time and one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm not really sure about if you go back like within the context of their time, you know, you got guys like, you know, the original Nature Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did a lot of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the one we saw in black and white running all around the place the other day, like in gift form or something?
Oh, that was Buddy Rogers.
Yeah, it was Buddy Rogers.
Guess
who
says,
Yeah.
Really like he was about to fall over.
Right, exactly.
While he's running any moment.
Yeah. Let's see here. Larson's Black Cat Stepfather. We've kind of gone over this before, but five WWE superstars that need a change in entrance music. Number one is Baron Corbin. They really should never have changed
his
entrance
music. Yeah, they need to go back
to his
previous music. It was
way
better.
Whenever I hear his intro to it, I feel like it's a Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa. Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
They're all on SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. The cat, Daryl Takahashi, was the being the elite drug-free bear, a way to symbolize CM Punk's return at All In.
Oh, there you go.
And Code Diesel says the drug-free bear turns out to be Punk at the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, man.
That'd be cool.
That'd be great. Ben Hyken, what was the point of the Cena Goldust promo? I honestly don't know.
To promote Fastlane, that was the point of it.
Well, that's what his promo did, but what the purpose of sending Goldust out there?
So Cena could have a match on Raw?
There was any number of other people. Look, I love Goldust. I'm just saying, like, there should be some significance to it. Ooh, bronze grappling hook. Would you guys like to see Stephanie and Triple H hire, bring up Shayna Baszler to face Ronda? Shayna could only be doing it for the money, and Ronda says she lost her love for that. I don't care about all that, but yeah, I'd
love
that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be a great way to bring her up. It's a creative way to bring her up.
Custard Cannon, Jared Ellis. With WWE signing so much independent wrestling talent over the past 5-10 years or so, power rank who you think is most likely to end up in the WWE Hall of Fame. Personally, he says he'd like to see AJ Styles since he grew up watching him in TNA.
They're going to have to expand the number of people they... Number one, the number of people and the pattern that they use, because it's like one woman a year.
I know.
We're getting to the point where you're going to have to start doing a couple more than that.
I know.
You know.
As far as the people signed directly from the indies, Seth Rollins. I think of everybody that's kind of fit that mold within the last 5-10 years of, you know, wrestling the indies, being huge in, say, Ring of Honor, and then coming over to WWE. I don't know this for sure, but Seth Rollins... Seems like he's had the most success in terms of titles, Kevin Owens.
Him and Kevin Owens, yeah. I was going to say Kevin, yeah.
AJ had a slightly different path because I don't really consider TNA indies nor New Japan.
Yeah.
I know AJ spent some time in Ring of Honor. Also, you got to say Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, or shoo-ins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that for sure.
AJ's a shoo-in, I think, too, but that's for not just what he's done to be. It has to be for the culmination of his career because he's done a lot of awesome stuff all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who else? Yeah, I think those would be the top three or four that come to mind.
Yeah.
Right now. But obviously, we have plenty of time.
Oh, Keegan Green also had a similar question at TGX's with the songs that could be a stipulation matches. So just wanted to give a shout out there. Embryonic Reflection. Which wrestlers are terrible drivers? He says he feels Scott Steiner is a terrible driver. That wouldn't surprise me. He's probably all full of road rage.
Yeah.
Who would be a terrible driver? I haven't watched enough of has there been any like notoriously terrible drivers on the, what do they call it?
Ride along? I don't know.
I don't recall. Who had the story on one of those animated things where I think it was Classy Freddie Blassie was like a nightmare driver?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forget who
I was trying to think
was
of
telling that
of,
story.
Of backstage bits where someone was in a car and ran someone over.
Rikishi.
Yeah, Rikishi.
It was
yeah.
Rikishi. Yeah, Rikishi. That's right. Yeah, terrible driver.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Power rank things that Vince McMahon wants in the ultimate deletion. He says, number one, a koala imbued with the soul of Kevin Dunn. I don't
know what that means.
That means either.
I think if the reports are true, Vince is just a fan of... Here's the thing. It's going to be like they're going to bring out the classics.
Yeah.
And so I know your point about they need to do some new stuff, and I hope they do, but I think there's a good middle ground.
Well, I mean, as long as they have the hallmarks of the whole thing, you get the boat.
And then you add to it.
You get some fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have Senior Benjamin in there.
And here's the thing. Don't make it a one-time thing. Remember how far TNA went with it? They had Tag Team Apocalypto. Mm-hmm. Do that. Have various superstars.
Well, then from there, they went to the Expedition of Gold.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They had the Hardys go to promotions around the world to get more belts.
Yeah. Jerome Murray, would you guys be okay with Matt and Bray doing their ultimate deletion at Mania and not actually being in-ring on the show?
Yeah, man. I prefer that.
I think that's how it should be.
Same here.
Absolutely. People would get a kick out of
it. Oh, here's a great question from Sean Woolsey. Not WWE-related question, but power rank matches that will get Steve to Strong Style Evolved.
Whoa. So, I mean, granted, Young Bucks versus the Golden Lovers has already...
That alone should get your butt in your seat.
That alone is 43%. So another match of that quality, right?
Well, give it to me.
Would be another
43%. Who should Okada face?
Oh, that's a big question, isn't it?
Or Naito. What if we get...
Well, I'd want Okada. I'd be Okada.
All right.
It'd be Okada versus... I don't know. Who do I like? Who's Cody fighting? Do we know who Cody's fighting?
No.
Is Cody going to be... He's got to be a strong style.
Yeah, I'd assume he'd be there.
Okay. Cody versus... Man, I'm trying to think. I don't know. Let me take a look at the roster here.
So right now, matches that we
give
know
me
for
some, give me some ideas.
For sure. What about Will Ospreay defending his junior heavyweight title against?
Okay. Will Ospreay versus... I don't know. I feel like, didn't we already see him against the Ticking Time Bomb? Like a
yeah,
couple times, a bunch of times?
But I'd see that again. That's a great match.
I'd watch that again.
I'd watch that match a million times.
That's worth 20%.
Okay.
Right there. But I don't know any, like if Will Ospreay is going to be there, then, you know, that Will Ospreay alone is like a good 19%.
Yeah.
So right there, you got me like 60%.
63.
Yeah. Man, it'll be fun to see. I don't know. There's too many possibilities.
There's a lot.
There's too many possibilities.
There's a lot. What if Jericho Naito was announced?
Yeah, that's a good 20% too.
Okay, so you take Ospreay there, that's 20%, plus that match, 20%, that's 83%.
Yeah, so chances are I'm going.
Yeah.
But they have to make the matches.
Right now, chances are you're going anyways.
They have to make the matches. Let's see here. Oh, Broken Steve. So after another solid promo from Roman, how do you see his face-to-face with Brock going? I think it's going to be good, man. I think it's going to be really good. How do you think that's going to go next week?
I'm. It's a coin flip if Brock shows up.
If he's even going to be there, right?
I kind of hope he's not.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I know.
Did they say it was from Detroit next week?
Mm-hmm. I think I read that he's like He was announced to be there before even last night. Like he was
okay. Well, he was announced
there.
To be in Anaheim too before the show, and
yeah,
he no showed.
I don't know. I think they're gonna. Here's how I think it'll go. If he shows up, which I'm kind of with you, kind of hope he doesn't. He's super obnoxious about whatever it is he's doing. You know what I mean?
He's got to be
like
completely apathetic to anything other than.
Because I'm buying into this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the angle. I think it's great.
Same here. Co-Diesel, scale 1 to 10, will Triple H win another WrestleMania match? So 1 yes. Oh, wait, sorry. 1 no, 10 yes. His team is not picking up the win at Mania this year.
No, that might be all my confidence points.
Yeah, that's the lock.
Probably all
Rousey's making points. Stephanie tap to an armbar. That's the finish of the match.
I'd say never say never. He has to have at least on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is no. He has to have at least a 3.
Yeah.
At least a 3.
Maybe his last Mania match he'll pick up a win.
Yeah. He's got to have one more. He has to have one
final match.
Yeah.
And then he'll pick up the win there. We haven't seen the last of the Golden Shuffle.
The Golden Shuffle, listen, announced here, best wrestler, me, Triple H, the game, Paul Levesque. Call me what you want, but I'm the best.
That guy, which superhero would do the best in WWE?
What, who, what?
Which superhero would do the best in WWE?
Won't be Superman.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know? I mean, he'd be like...
I mean, no one could beat him.
He'd be like... Nobody could beat him.
Yeah.
He'd be like the Brock Lesnar. But who'd be most over? Probably the Hulk. Because you get that little Bruce Banner guy in there, or David Banner, whatever his name is. You get him in there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Kevin Owens spits on his face or says
something
rude. He transforms
essentially into Braun Strowman.
He turns into Braun Strowman and destroys people while Hulk wins.
Yeah.
Superman would be more like Cena. People would be like, oh, you again?
I mean, it's kind of the reaction to Superman's movies. They're like, oh, he's not that interesting of a character.
Oh, this is actually interesting. Just always wins. This is actually something that we haven't really even talked about.
What?
With Miz and Maryse's daughter due near Mania, do you think it's a given that he's going to drop the IC title so he can take some time off and be a dad?
That's entirely possible.
That could be, right?
Yeah, okay,
that could
be a thing. That changes things then. Yeah, that's entirely possible. That's actually really plausible.
I mean, I know he's got, you know, some people, they want to be there for all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's made it known that he wants to be there for all that stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, you want to do play-per-view?
I'm sure there are people who don't want to be there for that stuff. I enjoyed being there for that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I got WrestleMania 23. We're going to do WrestleManias from here on out.
Oh, wow, okay. You have 23?
Yeah.
All right.
What did you do last time? Did we do 2 and 3 last time? We're just going to skip around.
Yeah, we'll skip around. You have which one?
23.
Okay, I'll do... what's this one? This sounds like it's probably a crap one. How many matches do you have?
9, including dark match, so 8. I could do either.
Okay, I'll do 26.
All right.
I'll do 26. And you have how many matches?
9.
Oh, God, I have 11. So I will start...
Any of them dark matches?
The first one's a dark match.
All right, let's do the last 9 then.
Okay.
I'll go first. In a lumberjack match during the pre-show, a dark match, Chavo Guerrero and Gregory Helms versus Carlito and Ric Flair.
What is this? What kind of match is this?
It's a lumberjack tag match.
A lumberjack tag match. Okay, so there's a bunch of lumberjacks out there. Carlito and Flair were probably the bad guys. I'm going to say bad guys find a way to win. Ric Flair and Carlito.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In a triple threat match, Randy Orton versus, it's all of, what are their name, Legacy, I guess? Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, and Ted DiBiase.
Oh, Orton's got to win.
Yeah, very good.
In a Money in the Bank ladder match, the participants were CM Punk, Edge, Finley, Mr. Kennedy, Jeff Hardy, King Booker, Randy Orton, and Matt Hardy.
Punk won.
Nope.
No?
Mr. Kennedy.
Oh, worst. Poor guy. In a Money in the Bank ladder match, we had Shelton Benjamin, MVP, Matt Hardy, Kofi Kingston, Jack Swagger, Christian, Dolph, Drew McIntyre, Evan Bourne, and Kane.
Jack Swagger.
Very good.
Kane versus the Great Khali.
I think they were pushing Kali at the time. We'll say Kali. Okay. Singles match. Sheamus, the Celtic Warrior, versus the Golden Shuffle, Triple H.
Sheamus.
Wrong. The Golden Shuffle Damn. Strikes again. This is WrestleMania. I got to get my KDS up.
Yeah, I guess so. Chris Benoit.
KDI. What was it? KD? What was it? KDR.
Chris Benoit versus MVP for the United States Championship.
MVP. No, really? The crippler or crossface guy? Singles match.
Singles match.
CM Punk with the Straight Edge Society versus 619 Rey Mysterio.
Mysterio?
Good, yeah.
All right.
Correct.
Next, for the World Heavyweight Championship, Batista, the champion, mm-hmm. versus The Undertaker.
Undertaker won.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In a no-holds-barred lumberjack match with Bruce Hart as special guest referee. Oh, you know, Bret Hart. You know, I'm taking on Vince McMahon.
Oh, Bret.
Yeah, Bret won. And I shoot broke his ankle, and I stood over him and said, fuck you.
Yeah. in the 8-man tag match, the ECW Originals, Rob Van Dam, Sabu, Tommy Dreamer, and the Sandman versus the New Breed, Elijah Burke, Kevin Thorne, Matt Stryker, and Marcus Corvon.
All right, man. This is either at the beginning of a push for those guys or the fizzle out of a push. I'm going to say it's the beginning of the push. Those guys, the New Breed. No, really? EC, good for them. Wow. Usually they bring out those old guys to lose. In a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Break the Wall, Chris Jericho, versus the challenger, Edge.
Edge.
No.
Damn. Next, Umaga.
Umaga.
Versus Bobby Lashley.
Oh, wow. Oh, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Lashley won.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh. Bleh. Bleh.
Not Lashley winning. But
no, not Lashley winning. The whole stipulation. Yeah. Stipulation's being. Yeah. Talking about fuck you. In a 10 Diva tag team match, 5-on-5, like a Survivor Series match. One team was Beth Phoenix, Eve Torres, Gail Kim, Kelly Kelly, and Mickey James. The other team was Alicia Fox, Layla, Maurice, nice, Michelle McCool, and Vicky Guerrero.
First team.
No.
Damn.
Michelle McCool won. She's Damn. My wife. Of course she's going okay. over.
In a Lumberjill match for the WWE Women's Championship, Ashley versus Melina.
For the Women's Championship?
Uh-huh.
I'll say Ashley.
No.
Ah, fuck. Okay. In a singles match for the WWE Championship, the champion, Batista, versus the challenger, John Cena.
Well, Cena wins.
Very good.
For the WWE Championship, main event, John Cena versus Shawn Michaels.
Say Lol Cena wins.
Yeah.
And finally, in a no disqualification streak versus career match, The Undertaker versus the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Undertaker.
Very good. You beat me by one.
I win.
Good job.
Good for me.
Should never bet on, what were those guys called that took on the ECW Originals? The New Breed?
New Breed.
What the hell is that even? Anyways, another rousing episode of Going in Raw.
Yes.
In the books. In the books.
In the books.
So yeah, that's it. Thanks that's for it. Watching.
Thanks, everybody.
Can we get some music, please? There's a little bit of music.
Indeed,
some
we have
tunes
music.
For you.
Music.
Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.